Good morning. It is good to be in God's house.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 14, and verses 22 and 23. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand if you're able as I read from God's Word. Today we're looking at the Last Supper, a new covenant meal. Mark 14, verses 22 and 23. While they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. I'm going to go ahead and read 24. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, those words right there, all of your word, dear God, is so important. But those words right there, Father, that we have just read, it's the sacrifice of your Son. That means so much to us that he gave up his place in heaven. He obeyed your will and your command. And he came to this earth to suffer one of the most horrible, painful, and cruel deaths that anybody could ever suffer. But on the third day, rose victorious from the grave. So God, thank you for that. And Lord, as we get into this word this morning, Father, give us understanding. Give us wisdom and knowledge and speak to our hearts and let us take from your word what we need today, dear God. Lord, we just thank you for your holy word as we apply it to our lives. Let us live by it and let it guide us and help us to grow in all things. And Lord, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I got two pages of notes, so bear with me, okay? I promise to have you out today by 1:15 at least. We're going to look at first this morning. The first verse read was about the bread, and the bread, it was a sacrifice for our sins. The action of the blessing and the breaking of the bread was this. See, Jesus followed the traditional Passover ritual. Now, the Passover ritual is where they gathered together, they had roasted lamb, they ate unleavened bread and spices, and they would drink 4 cups of wine, and back then they would read the Exodus from Egypt. So Jesus, in this Passover ritual, he was taking and blessing and breaking the bread, but here is where the new meaning takes place of this. Jesus said, "Take it, this is my body." So Jesus is signifying to the people that the bread that they are about to receive, it is his body. And I don't know how many of us really think on that, but without that sacrifice, you and I would have absolutely no hope. I am so thankful that Jesus did leave the glory of heaven. I'm glad that Jesus thought about all of creation before we were ever born, but he knew that he had to die in order for you and I to be reconciled back with God. So, I mean, when you think about it, the symbol of the bread, this is Jesus's body. So when you and I, and we will be doing the Lord's Supper here in a few weeks, and I pray that the next time we take it together, I pray that when you hold that little cracker or the unleavened bread in your hand, I hope that each and every one of us will not just look at that as just another ceremonial thing that we do together, or I hope we don't think of it as just a ritual, but I hope that when you look at it, that you say to yourself, this is the body. This is a symbol of the body that was beaten and that was bruised and nailed to a cross as a he was a living sacrifice. Now, the identification of that is that Jesus identifies himself as the true bread of life. Just as your physical body needs life, we eat bread, well, we eat food to sustain that. But Jesus in this, as the physical bread gives us physical life, his sacrifice is providing for us a spiritual life. Now, without Jesus, we don't have life. We don't have anything if we didn't have Jesus. As I said, you and I would have no hope. We would have, without Jesus, we would have an eternity separated from God in hell. Now, we need to think about that. We need to really let that pound us between the rib cage right in the heart. And we need to think that if Jesus hadn't come, we wouldn't have life. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they would have it abundantly. And I want you to know today that you, as a believer, as a child of God, you have spiritual life through Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said that the bread that he would give us to eat, we would never hunger again. Because Jesus satisfies every desire of the spiritual life. I remember when I got saved, that's what I was hungry. I was empty inside. And I ain't talking about my belly. Now, my belly will be empty here around probably 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I'll be ready to fill it up again. But in the spiritual life, in this spiritual body, Jesus, when I got saved, he came into my life and he gave. You see, he had already given of his physical body, but now he was given to me into the spirit. He was filling me up with exactly what I needed, what I was hungering for. See, there's a lot of people who will search this world and they'll try to find satisfaction in the things that this world has to offer. And I want to tell you this, you're not going to find satisfaction in a bottle. You're not going to find it in a pill. You're not going to find it in money or material wealth. You're not going to find it in a job or a college degree or anything at all like that. You're not going to find that kind of satisfaction in the things of this world. But in Jesus Christ, you have everything that you're ever going to need, and the longing that you're feeling, some people have even said, I feel like it's a dryness inside of me, like I've got this thirst that needs to be quenched. And the moment they have met Jesus, I have heard this testimony over and over again with a lot of people. They said, I was once lost in searching, but now I have found exactly what I was looking for. And I want to tell you this, when Jesus gives you spiritual life, it never gets old. It never gets dull. It never gets boring. I mean, to live for the Lord Jesus, I mean, the fact that he is in your heart, the fact that he died for you, that ought to give you every reason to celebrate and rejoice and praise him and live for him day in and day out. That should give you a reason to look down in your heart and say, I have a reason to live. Just like that good old song, Because He Lives, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He's here. He's always with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I'll tell you what, people are going to let you down in this life. They will. I want to say this to you. Quit putting your faith and hope and trust in people, because that's not where your salvation is found. That's not where your redeeming is found. You need to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus will never let you down. He will never hurt you, because He is love. And His love was proved in what He did by giving His body as a sacrifice for you and I. The command to take, when Jesus said, take, eat, to take implies that the benefit of His sacrifice, it must be personally received by faith. By faith. You can't do it any other way. You have to, by faith, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You have to believe, by faith, that He was born of a virgin conceived of by the Holy Spirit. But you have to believe by faith that He gave His body for you. If you don't believe in, if you don't believe anything by faith, then you've got nothing. You're not going to go anywhere. But faith is the key that unlocks the door every time. And when you, even if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that is a great faith. And if you put that kind of faith and trust in the Lord, He will work in your life. But to take it, and we have to receive that, we have to apply it to our lives. And we, I mean, this has got to be a memorable thing for me. When I sometimes think that life is getting a little too hard or too difficult, I remember what that body endured for me on the cross. And then I'll tell you what, it cancels out every negative thought that I've ever had in a day's time. Because, hey, we all do get heavy. We all do get weary. We all get burdened. But Jesus said this, cast your cares on me, because He cares for us. How many of you believe that? I mean, really believe that. How many of you take that to heart today? I mean, there ain't nobody else could do for you what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. Now the cup. This is the blood of the new covenant. The act of thanksgiving. Jesus takes the cup and He gives thanks. This is demonstrating gratitude in the face of His impending suffering. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, I preached to you last week about Jesus being in the garden of Gethsemane, and Gethsemane was the place where they pressed the olives. And as I told you, as olives are pressed and squeezed, the finest oil comes out of olives. And I'll repeat it again today from last Sunday. There's going to be times in life where you are pressed, where you are squeezed, and you don't know what's going to happen next. But here's what we need to do. We need to cast our eyes to Jesus. We need to put our hope and faith and trust in Him. And when we're being squeezed, we need to start giving God our best. Instead of griping and complaining and cursing and going on, we need to say, Father, thank You that You are with me in the middle of my hard time. I'm being pressed, Lord. I feel like everything's, but I'm going to praise You. I'm going to rise up from where I'm at, and I'm going to serve You. It may not feel good at the moment, but I give You thanks. I give You thanks for this moment. See, if we learn to be thankful and grateful, here's what we're going to learn. Because Jesus is getting ready to endure the worst punishment of His life. He's about to take our sin upon Him. He is about to feel the separation between Him and God the Father. And he still says, thank you. He's still giving thanks for that moment. So I want you to know this. When you're in a deep, desperate time in your life, you start giving God thanks that He is right there with you. Even in the good times, you say, Father, I thank you for the opportunity that I'm in. Because every opportunity that we go through in life, every challenge, every trial, it helps us to grow in Him if we trust by faith. Shared participation. Now, all of the disciples were gathered there with Jesus at the Last Supper, and they all drank from that cup. This emphasizes the unity of the church and the shared nature of redemption. No believer is excluded from the benefits of His shed blood. Now, they shared together because they're the church. How many of you, I want to ask a question. How many of you have ever been to a Catholic funeral? Anybody? Yep. I know that the first time ever I went to a Catholic funeral is when Janine's grandmother Mary had passed away. A blessed woman on that too. And I won't forget this. I mean, I'd been used to having the cup and the cracker in church, but I'd never. So I went, I was talking to Father Bob a few days beforehand. We were gathered together at the hospital. He had come by, and I remember asking him, I said, now, Father Bob, I want to ask you a question. I said, I know in the Catholic Church you guys do things differently than I would. But I said, do you allow other people to take communion in your church? And he said, absolutely. He says, because you're a part of the body of God. So for the first time in my life, I got to drink from a shared cup. And I wasn't standing up there worrying about anybody's cooties or anything like that or what I might try to catch. Here's what I discovered, though. It was a shared fellowship together at that service when we did communion. And I could almost feel what the disciples went through as they were gathered with Jesus there. But when they're drinking of this cup together, they were sharing the redemption. We are being redeemed by we have been redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There is a significance to the blood. Without that blood, our sins would have never been washed away. But it was that precious blood of Jesus as it flowed down Calvary's cross. As my Savior is hanging up there, beaten, alone, felt like He's cast away from the world. As His nail is through His feet, as He's hanging up there, as He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He could have called 10,000 angels to come and pulled Him from that cross, but He didn't. It wasn't the nails that held Him there, it was His love. It was His love that caused the blood to flow for you and I so that we could be redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You need to be saying every day as a Christian, I am saved. The blood of Jesus set me free. I've been made whole again. I've got every reason to worship. I've got every attitude in me to be thankful. I should have no reason on this earth to curse anything about God. Oh, I have in the past, but that's in the past. The Lord's forgiven me, I know. But I've got every reason to celebrate, and I've got every reason to tell people about the shed blood of Jesus. I need to take and share it with others. And I need to tell people what Jesus' blood did for me so that they can know that His love is very real, and that if they would accept the gift and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that they too could be redeemed. But what I like, no believers excluded. If you are a child of God, the blood applies to you. So every morning, we should get up despite what's going on in life, and we should fall to our knees, and we should say, Father, thank you that I am redeemed. We used to sing a song when I was in youth group at church. Of course, I wasn't a Christian then. Thought I was. But we'd sit and we'd start singing, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I am. All of my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. And I used to love when we'd start the, we'd be going on a church trip. And boy, they'd start singing that song. And not knowing how lost I was, but I'll tell you one thing, it meant a lot to me right then in life. But the moment that I got saved, oh, did it really ever have meaning to me? I've been redeemed from the sins of my past. I am no longer, I'm not living under any kind of law or ordinance. I am living under a new blood covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not sad and crying. I'm very happy this morning and shedding tears. The cup of redemption. In the Passover, the cup represented God delivering Israel from slavery. And Jesus repurposes it to signify deliverance from the slavery of sin. Isn't that amazing? We are freed. I want you to say it loud. I am not a slave to sin. There you go. And we've got to proclaim this every day. I am not a slave to sin. I am a child of Christ. I have been set free. So I am not under that bondage. I remember I preached a few weeks back about being under, a lot of people live under bondage of sin. And if you're a child of God, then it's time for you to quit living under the bondage of sin. It's time for you to let go of the guilt. It's time for you to let go of the fear. It's time for you to let go of the past. And it's time, you've got here and now. If God brought you here to church right today, then you've got here and now to start living for Him. And we should never say, I'm too young, I'm too old, or I'm not talented enough, or I'm not good looking enough, or I'm not wise, or I don't have enough biblical knowledge. Don't worry about any of that. That stuff that the devil will put in your head to try to steer you away from doing what God wants you to do and to keep you enslaved. But as a child of God, you need to stand up and say, I am redeemed by the Lamb of God, by the shed blood of Jesus, and I'm going to live my life for Him. And I'll tell you what, I don't care what people say about me, and I don't care if people hate me or like me, whatever. It used to get on me and bug me, and I never could figure out why people wouldn't like me. It don't matter anymore. I know who loves me, and I know who died for me, and that's all that matters. I'm not going to make everybody happy. I'm not trying to make enemies. I'm not. But I'll tell you this, I want to try to win as many people to Christ as I can. And that's what our That's what our calling is. That was the great commission given to us by Jesus. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our commission. And look, we have got plenty of, I want to call it roosting spots for them to come and drop in for a while. We got some good roosting spots open in this church. We need to go out and go get them. We need to go out and we need to tell people and we need to let people know why Boscadale Church is here. Boscadale Church is not just here to have fellowships and to have yard sales and do this and do that. Boscadale Baptist Church is here. It sits on a hill as a lighthouse to a lost and dark and dying world, and they need to see that the people of Boscadale Baptist Church are standing behind what they are talking about. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about living our lives for Him. We need to show it to each and every person. And that's why I'm thankful that there is yard sales, because at the yard sales, it's a time that we can witness to every single person. Now, whether they step in this church, we don't know if they will or not, but I'll tell you this. The Word of God will be planted in their heart and it will take root and it will start to work inside of them, and eventually people will get saved, and it's all by God's power. Now, the foundation of a new relationship. This is a covenant commitment, and the blood of Jesus is what establishes that covenant. Nothing else. The blood of Jesus. This is a binding relationship between God and His people, and it's based on grace and not the law. Did you hear what I said? It's a binding relationship. That means when you become a child of God and you take into this new relationship, You're taking on a covenant that was made by blood and by grace was given to us, and it binds us to God, and at no point in that relationship is God going to kick you to the curb. How many of you been a child, be on vacation in the car, and you're driving your parents up the wall, and your parents ever say, if I pull this car over, I'm going to leave you on the side of the road. Or if the next band of gypsies I see, we're going to sell you to them. Anybody ever hear something like that? Well, they never meant it. But see what I'm saying? People may do away with relationships. People may walk away from relationships with other people. And I ain't got no answers for that. But with God, God will never kick you out of His relationship. God will never turn you away. Because the Bible says that God is love, and in Him there is no darkness. And if God wants a relationship with you, and He sent Jesus to die, and Jesus went through all of this, do you think that He did it just to get rid of you later on because you've done something bad? Absolutely not. See, the Lord knows that we still are going to have sin in our life, but see, He looks at us now through the shed blood of Jesus, and what He sees is He sees redeemed. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's a covenant. It's binding. It never, never ends. Life is poured out. The phrase poured out for many in verse 24, this echoes the prophecy of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53:12. And I want to read that to you real quick. I bookmarked that, and I thought, you know, I got the wrong bookmark. Hold on a minute. Isaiah 53:12. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. So all the way back in the Old Testament in Isaiah 54, there's a prophetic word right there telling about Jesus dying on the cross. So his life poured out for many echoes that prophecy. And it confirms that Jesus' death was a fulfillment of God's redemptive plan. That was God's redemptive plan. Now, I can't think of anything better than that. There ain't nothing better than that. That God thought of me and God thought of you. Now, isn't that great? I mean, hey, we ought to be living with the biggest smile on our face. We should. We have no reason, we have no doubt to walk around with our jaws hanging down like a bloodhound's, looking like we lost the best friend in the world. I'm telling you, we have no reason that we should be living life like that as God's people. And like I said, when we go through difficult trials, praise Him. That's what moves God, is how you respond. I can't tell you how many times I heard that through my life. And still yet, boy, when I was young and dumb and I was mad at God, oh, I folded my arms and I didn't want to listen. I'd harden my heart. But how true it is, when I finally listened, said, I trust you, Father. And I've been in some tough places before. And in those tough places, praising God produced some of the greatest results. Trusting God in those difficult times produced the greatest results by praising Him. He responds by our actions. So, if He's done all that for us, wow. That Last Supper together has a lot of meaning. It ain't just a story. It ain't just an occurrence. It is one of the greatest meals that they ever took part of together. Now, life application. I want to give you a couple things here. Remembrance. We observe this meal to keep the sacrifice of Christ at the center of our lives. And you know, I believe that if you're at home, I believe this, and you feel like you want to partake of the Lord's Supper because you want to honor, you want to remember what the Lord, there ain't a thing wrong with that. Janine and I have done that before. We've went and bought grape juice, and then we got some kind of unleavened crackers, I think we, when the Bible bookstore was still open in Carterville, I think we got some of the, but we wouldn't just do it to do it. It has a significance to us. So you can do it at any time, but it really needs to have a deep meaning within your heart, and you have to do it with the right attitude. Unity, partaking together reminds us that we are one body in Christ, regardless of our differences. I want you to really think on that. We have differences, but we have to remember we don't live for our differences. We don't live by what one person thinks compared to somebody else. We are one body in Christ. We are one. We have one commitment, one calling, one purpose as that body. That should be our focus. And assurance, the blood of the covenant, it provides the certain hope of forgiveness and eternal life with God. So, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven when you believe and confess. Your sins are forgiven. You have been washed and made clean and whole. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then we are expected. We are expected to keep up our part of that covenant relationship. That it doesn't give us a golden ticket to just sit back and enjoy a free ride. And it doesn't make life rosy, does it? It doesn't give you a green light to go through an emerald forest. It just doesn't happen that way. But I'll tell you what, in this covenant relationship, you've got the best friend that'll stick closer than any brother.